Drink. All right, everybody, welcome to episode 65 of Feel Good Friday. Episode 65, halfway through the 60s. It feels like just yesterday. I was talking about hitting episode 60 and feeling old. Now here we are at 65, halfway to 70. Holy shit, life comes at you pretty fast. If you don't take the time to stop and look around every once in a while, I think I fucked that up, so I'm not even, it was supposed to be the Ferris Bueller's Day Off quote about just appreciate life and, you know, appreciate the moment. Fuck it. Anyway, episode 65, Feel Good Friday, FGF. Great episode today. We got an interview with a very funny comic, Peter Grant, an Australian comic from Melbourne, Australia. He's in Vancouver now, but shitloads of content from the guy on all the social medias, Instagram and TikTok, and he's got stuff on YouTube, of course. He used to do a podcast called Access Granted. He has some acting credits on his IMDb page. The guy's been around. He's done some shit, so very cool to talk to him. Very appreciative that he took the time to let me interview him, because my interviews are far from professional, but, you know, These people are nice enough to let me really, you know, take a dive into their brains and see what's going on. So I appreciated that. So check him out if you haven't already. And if you hear me saying this and you're like, you know what, Joe, I don't think I am going to check out Peter Grant. First off, fuck you. You know, your loss. Second off, just wait before you say that. Listen to the interview and then tell me what you think, because you might turn around. You might be just tractor beamed in from his coolness. He's got a very, you know, this contagious positivity that it just seems like a cool guy to be around, you know? And that's definitely the vibe I got from him. I got that vibe from him before I even talked to him. And I talked to him and it was just that for 40 minutes. So he definitely lives like that and it's really cool to see. So it's a rare kind of positivity that I think this world needs, honestly. So Peter Grant interview, awesome stuff. That's coming after the intro, which is still going on because I'm still talking currently. This is a thing. Because real quick, I wanted to talk about Little Caesars. Had a little Little Caesars story that I wanted to bring up. A few weeks ago, I should say, I made a status praising Little Caesars. I said, can we all just take a moment? I'll take a second to appreciate the fact that Little Caesars has never wavered from selling their hot and ready pizzas for $5. Even in this economy, never wavered. Now, I made this status ignorantly, which I'm 98% sure is a word. I made the status without doing my research. Should have said that first. It is what it is. Because I went to Little Caesars after I made the status. I got a lot of love. I got a lot of likes and all that. People were fans, but there were some people that were talking shit about Little Caesars, you know, like, the ingredients suck and it's not that, you know, it's not good anyway and all this shit. So I went to Little Caesars because I was just driving by it and saw it. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to say fuck you to those guys. I'm going to get a Little Caesars pizza hot and ready, $5. And I'm going to take a selfie and send it to them and be like, hey, Little Caesars, still got it. Still got it, baby. So I went to Little Caesars. I pulled up right in front of the restaurant. That's in quotes because it's like an express. They all are. Little Caesars is the furthest thing from a sit-down restaurant. So I pull up and the windows are covered, like fucking covered in signs that are promoting a pretzel crust pizza. So it's pepperoni pizza with a salted pretzel crust. And the signs made it look delicious. I love soft pretzels and I love pizza. So a combination of both, it has to be good, right? My mind is like Little Caesars. Here I am just thinking I'm going to go in there and just get that pizza for $5 and go. No, I'm going to spend a couple extra bucks and get this pretzel crust pizza because these signs have sold me. These signs made it look so good that it was almost irresistible. Irresistible, dare I say, but it was. So I walk in, I'm all happy. I'm carrying Finn and I'm like, Finn, we're about to get a fucking treat. And he's like, fuck yeah, dad. And that was his first words. I walk in and I'm at the thing, the register, for no joke, 5 minutes before anyone shows up. There's one other person in there, in the waiting area, and I'm like, "Are you in line?" And they're like, "No, I'm waiting for an online order." I'm like, "All right, cool." So I get in line, and 5 minutes, I'm sitting there with Finn, and Finn's getting restless. He's like, "Why are we standing in one place? What's going on?" There's only so much you can look at in a Little Caesars. And more people are coming in. Like, the lobby is filling up quick. I'm starting to be like, do we just take the pizzas and go? Do we just leave $5 on the counter and fucking skedaddle? Finally, someone comes up, doesn't apologize for the wait, nothing like that. You know, why would you? It's not like it's common fucking courtesy or anything. Comes up and is like, "Can I help you?" Awful tone. And this, you know, maybe it's, I'm a little biased. I work in customer service, where I'm very friendly all the time to every customer, hot or ugly, you know, friendly to everyone. But this person was not friendly at all. Made me stand there for 5 minutes, which 5 minutes, again, it's not like it, like I'm waiting there for like an hour. It was 5 minutes. I wouldn't wait an hour for any pizza, yet alone Little Caesars. But it comes up and, "Can I help you?" I'm like, "Yeah, can I get that pretzel crust pizza?" Because keep in mind, there's three posters for it on the front of the store. They have two posters of it up on like the menu, because it's a electronic menu now. It's all TVs, and two of the TVs are just, boom, pretzel crust pizza. And then it's even on the plastic sign that's, you know, right in front of the register. So they're promoting the fuck out of this thing. They want people to buy this thing. And I get it. It looks good. Like, you want to make people happy. Pretzel crust pizza most likely is going to make some people happy. So I was stoked to get it. I was like, "Yeah, I'll take one of those pretzel crust pizzas." And he goes, "Oh, we don't have it." And I was like, "I mean, like, what are all the stuff?" And he goes, "We'll start selling it on Thursday." I was like, "Well, then," in my mind is on fire. My mind is the little Lewis Black red guy from Inside Out. My mind's going fucking nuts. My mind, why the fuck are you promoting it now then? Like, why are you throwing up these signs all over the goddamn restaurant if you don't even have it in stock? What are you doing? That is false advertising, and I kind of want to fucking sue you right now. Kinda. But, you know, I definitely want to be angry, and I am. I didn't say that. I was like, I laughed. I went, okay. And like, had that tone. That was my tone. He didn't say sorry or anything. You know, there's nothing like that. There was no sympathy in his voice. Like, he, I don't know how he didn't see that I was there for that pretzel crust pizza. Finn was disappointed. Finn's crying at this point. Might've been because of the pretzel crust pizza. Might have been because we've been standing there for like 7 or 8 minutes now in one spot, and he's getting restless. What are you going to do? He's 22 months old. So I was like, okay. Can I just get a cheese pizza? He goes, "We're out." I'm like, what? What the fuck? I'm almost at a loss for words. And then he corrected himself. Yeah, it was about to fucking, the top was going to blow. "You're out of cheese pizza?" And he goes, "Well, we just don't have any ready right now. So if you want, you could wait for one." And I was like, "What do you do?" Like, I'm like, "What do you have ready?" And he goes, he looks back. Swear to God, this is real, people. He looks back in the heater, and there's no pizzas in there. And he goes, "Nothing." I'm in disbelief, people. I can't believe this is an actual interaction that's happening. I'm like, "Well, when's the next round of pizzas going to be? Like, what's going on? What is going on?" He's like, "We got crazy, Brad." Like, dude, I'm good. I didn't come for, I love crazy bread. I do. I get crazy with the crazy bread, but that's not what I came here for. I came here for the hot and ready pizza. And that pizza is neither hot nor ready, neither of them. And the original pizza that I wanted isn't even being sold at this location, even though you guys are just really, really pushing it pretty hard. I didn't say any of that. That was all my mind. I was like, "You know, I'll just take a cheese. Do you know when it's going to be ready?" And he goes, "It should be a couple minutes." I was like, "All right, cool." It was not a couple minutes. I paid for it, and it was 10 minutes. was 10 minutes. So I had to bring Finn outside and walk around, come back in and like check to see if it was ready. Of course it wasn't. Finally, it was 10 minutes. It was ready. It was an awful pizza experience. The pizza wasn't bad by any means. Wasn't great. I don't even know if I can call it good, but it wasn't bad. You know what I mean? But just, I think it's because I was so pissed off by the whole experience that it dampened the taste of the pizza. You know, if you're in a pissed off mood, things usually don't taste as good. Things taste better when you are happy, or drunk, you know? And I was neither when I was eating that pizza. So an awful Little Caesars experience. I take back what I said. And by the way, not $5 anymore. It's like $5.99. So it's $6. You upped it a buck. Is it really helping that much? Probably, because if you sell like 100 pizzas a day at one location, that's 100 extra bucks. I get it. So maybe it is. But still, Little Caesars can suck brick. I kept the post up, but I commented on my post and I said, people, I take back what I said. Fuck Little Caesars. Very upsetting. Yeah. So if you think you have problems going on in your life, just take a step, take a walk in my shoes, not even a step, take a walk in my shoes and you'll be begging for your life back. No one has suffered more than me. Keep that in mind next time you think you got it hard. Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's it. That's all I got to say. Rant over. Now we're going to transition into something that is super positive and not upsetting like a Little Caesars debacle. Interview with Peter Grant. So strap in, sit down, keep driving, whatever you're doing, and check out very funny comedian, actor, content creator, lover of life and good times, Peter Grant. All right, everybody, welcome back to Feel Good Friday, episode 65. I have a very special guest on, Australian comedian Peter Grant. Now, I throw in Australian because you're the first Australian I've ever had on the podcast. I've looked at the analytics and I do have listeners in Australia. Not a lot, but I do have some, so I'm pretty excited to finally...
Oh, so you just toy me out. You just put me out as a lure. And you're just like, no. Oh, there's 12 people listening in Australia. Let's fucking get them.
Now there's going to be 24, you know? That's, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I love it, bro. Let's double dick
down. But...
Australian flag up on the wall.
Oh, yeah, you're repping.
Got me Australian with me. Yeah.
So from Melbourne, Australia, but now you're in the US, you're West Coast, right?
Yeah, so I'm living up in Vancouver, but then, you know, before the pandemic, it was easy enough to travel up and down, and then now it's getting easy again. But yeah, home base is in Vancouver, Vancouver. Over the border in Canada.
Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha. That's awesome. Do you like it up there, or you prefer the home country?
Nah, it's cold as shit, bro. We're just coming out of winter, and I'm just like, it's been so cold. Like, it's still like, it's like a nice day today, and I've still got a beanie on, you know?
Uh-huh. Now, that beanie, is that containing all that hair that I saw in your most recent stand-up video?
Yeah, dude, I grew the hair out. I got it all pinned underneath. It's been a mess. I've started going into the water again.
Yeah.
And getting out to the seawater, and it's cold as shit, so my hair's pretty dreadlocky. And then I realized about an hour ago I didn't have time to shower, so I said, took time it is.
Right. Yeah, I grew out the hair for a little bit. I don't know. The fiance wasn't a fan of it. And then it's a lot of maintenance. It's a lot of upkeep.
Bro,
so.
And it gets to that phase as well. That's just horseshit. Like, there's like months of just like, you're just like, all right, I just look like a homeless person, I guess.
Right. Yeah, there's that. And then even when you're growing it out, there's that in between where it's like, it's not short, it's not long. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
oh, that's okay. Shit, okay.
I fucking hate that, dude. And you just have to grow through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've grown my hair out. Totally twice, but a lot of the times I don't because I don't want to go through that phase.
I did it once when I was younger, and then you know, I broke up with a girlfriend at the time, and I did the Britney Spears and fucking shaved the head, and you know, like all that stuff. And then a couple of years later, I was like, I loved my long hair. I'm growing it back out. And I had to go through the shit phase again.
Yeah, but you made it through, and it looks great.
Happy to. Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
The first time I saw you and the long hair was a clip I saw on Instagram. You were doing stand up, and it was about working with carpenters, aka, as you put it, working with people with special needs. what came first? Was it the stand up comedy or working as a carpenter?
Dude, so yeah, like in Australia, I wanted to be an act. Like acting's my number one. Mm-hmm. So like acting is like the number one, and then I found stand up through acting and through writing because I was like acting and writing a bunch, and then found stand up through that. But then, you know, the arts don't pay the bills for a long time, and I'm from a small country town, so like trades work was always the day job. So like, yeah, it's just, and it's been a well of fucking, you know, material for me as a comic just to keep, like, you know, there's a story in every room built, you know. So
yeah. So a lot of your material for stand up where does the material come? Is it real life stuff, or is it just random thoughts that you have going on?
I don't know. I'm kind of, I love the confessional kind of storytelling, uh-huh. like, because it's just like, I don't know, I've got myself into some weird shit without like meaning to, and like, you know, it's just a fun, like, I'm more than happy to talk about any of the dumb shit that's happened, because it's the past, you know, it's just, like, it's happened, and there's nothing you can do about it, so why not have a laugh about it?
Right.
And then yeah, always loved crowd work before the TikTok fads. Mm-hmm. I love crowd work in the sense of it gives, for me, it breaks down the illusion of I'm the comic, I'm the performer, listen to me. And I'm just like, we're all just here to have a laugh. I'm just facilitating, like, right, everyone being able to do that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. You are very open about your stuff. Another clip I saw is you talking about the OnlyFans scam that happened.
Oh, yeah, so this is on the Comedy Here Often page. I got to shout them out because they do great shows up here. And I've done a couple of them, and they record really high quality content. They've gained a following on their social media pages, and they put this content out. And yeah, the OnlyFans scam was a weird time in my life where it was just like, that wasn't even a joke, mate. Like, that was just like legit. It happened that day, and I was host that show, and I went up there, I had a couple beers, and I was just like, and they would, you know, like when you get something recorded like that, that's why people, I recommend to record your sets, just for,
yeah,
you know, you look back on it, and you go, oh fuck, I've never told that joke since, but now it's got, you know, 500,000 views all over TikTok and Instagram, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess that works. I'll keep doing that shit.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What have you always liked stand-up comedy? I know you said you started as the act, like you wanted to be the actor, and I've seen the credits on IMDb. Like, you got some, the Twilight Zone episode and the DC TV show that you were doing.
Yeah.
But did you always like stand-up, or?
I always loved having a laugh.
Okay.
Right? And like, that was like the big one for me. And then I have a memory of like, you know, like book fairs at school. Did you guys have them over there?
Yeah.
Like, did you have? And dude, I'd go in and I'd buy a book, a joke book. You know, like fucking 101 dumb jokes, right? Edition 6, and then like, you know, the author's name was like "fuck my dog" or some shit like that. You know, like just like a joke name.
Right.
But I never, and then I thought that's what jokes, like, you'd go and you get a book and you memorize those jokes, and that's why people could tell jokes, like, when you're at not parties, but, like, because I was young, but, like, at school, you'd tell jokes that you memorize from these books.
Yeah.
I never knew that it could be a job to write jokes, you know? So then, but then there's Australian comics. I got it, like, Carl Barron was, like, one of my first comics I ever saw, like, on TV. Like, one of my mates had a DVD, and I saw him real young. And I just thought that he was the only guy. Like, it took me so long to put this all together.
Mm-hmm.
The same with acting. Like, mate, I'm from a small, isolated little fucking country town in Australia. Like, and this is, like, when the internet was starting up. Like, it wasn't like it is now. Like, now you go back and everyone's on TikTok and they got millions of followers. You're like, what, doing farming shit? Like, this is, like, all right, great, mate, good for you. Like, you know, but, like, back then it was just, like, it was wild that I didn't know it was, like, an actual thing you could do. I just, like, liked it.
Yeah.
And then soon as I found out, like, as an actor, you start researching these people and you start finding out so-and-so's a comic, so-and-so's a comic, so-and-so's a comic, so-and-so's a comic, or they were on sitcom. And then you just realize, like, the fucking, for me, I grew up on the stage, like, doing theater. Yeah. And then, like, so, like, for me, stand-up's the perfect fucking combination between performance and writing. Like, it's the best, I don't know if my instrument, I don't know how to say it, yeah.
I got you.
What about you, dude? How did you find stand-up? Because you're new in the game, right?
I did it. So I did a lot of open mics in college, and then, I don't know.
How long ago is college?
So I graduated 2017, so it's been about 6 years. So I haven't done it in a minute, trying to get back into it, although life is crazy at the moment. I got, like I said, I got my fiance, we got a baby, 2 years old.
Hey, congratulations, man.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Yeah, like, when I say life, it's like I'm happy with my life, but, like, it's fucking crazy. Like, it's
oh,
insane.
Yeah, dude. I know what you mean.
Yeah, like... and then we got three dogs as well. So, so life is pretty nonstop, but once we settle down a little bit more, I definitely want to start getting back into it. So I've been talking to a lot of comedians and fortunate enough to like interview, some of them like yourself and, just find that inspiration again and really just connect with these people. And I was into it young though. I was watching Saturday Night Live and
hell yeah, dude.
The Comedy Central Presents episode, like the half hour specials. So always been into it. And now podcasts, like all my favorite comedians have podcasts. And I know you have one as well, Access Granted.
I had one. I had Access Granted. I ran that for a couple of years, yeah.
Okay.
And then dude, I had life happened to me last year. Uh-huh. And Access Granted kind of went on the back burner for a bit, but like, dude, podcasting, I think it's a raw edit. Like, it's a nice little, and now for me, podcasting is different. That like jumping on and being able to actually have a chat about something, opposed to like when I was the host, it was always like, you know, what you're going through before you're hosting this.
Right.
You know, like, there's so much more than when I'm just like, you know, I went to the gym this morning, I went out down to the beach, I fucking went for a walk, and then I smoked the bong a couple of times, I wrote some shit, got ready for my show tonight, and then I was just like, all right, it's about fucking time to sit down. And then I sat down and I chimed in, whereas you were just like, all day, you're just like stressed about little things. And it's like the littlest thing. I remember.
Yeah, no, I do my research. I try to make sure I have the stuff done. You know, everything accurate, but I don't know. It's also fun doing the podcast. Like, I do enjoy it because I get opportunities to talk to people like you, and grateful for that. But
dude, I reckon I gotta give props to your fucking nuts though, dog, because like to just send, like, cause I did it as well. I didn't do it like how you did it. Like, I just sent out a DM like that. Like, that's,
yeah,
like, I appreciate that, man. Like,
I mean, I don't have an agent. I don't have any connections out there, so I'm just taking my shots, and sometimes they hit.
That's that's the X factor is what they used to call it, like the fucking thing that, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, dude. I give props. I got a really good mate. He's like fucking just turned 20 years old. He's just this young kid. And he's just like this go-getter, and everything I do is just facilitating him. And I'm like, go, young Ernie, go. And he's just like, it's really good, man. Like, I love, because, like, dude, for me, that clip is wild. Like, the fact that you reached out to me based on that clip, it's just like, that's one of my favorite jokes, because I don't tell jokes like that. Like, that's like, that's only one sentence of 4 minutes of material. But, like, the fact that it got clipped and like just put out as that sentence alone, and it's perfect for the fucking TikTok and Instagram algorithms, is just,
yeah,
like, it just made sense. And the response on it has been wild, because like, for me as a blue collar dude, like the blue collar boys and shit that just jumped on and chimed in, it was a real laugh for me to hear the response of everyone being like, fucking yep.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the comments, people are sounding off about, like, there's actually electricians and plumbers going at each other. It's fucking hilarious to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, did you have anyone actually pissed off about that joke? Like, any carpenters?
Oh, so many. But then they forget that I'm a comedian as well, Joe.
Like, right.
They're fucking, like, it's just like, yeah, come at me as a Sparky, but also forget that I'm a comedian, sure. And
right.
Then I just, like, they DM me, and it's just like, all right. I got nothing better to do.
Got a lot of keyboard warriors out there for sure.
I love it though, dude, because that's the best thing about freedom of speech. Fuck it, you're allowed to, bro. So that
Yeah.
means I'm allowed to say what the fuck I want back.
Right.
Like,
That's because people will
it's
come
the.
at you with that argument, like, oh, I could, it's freedom of speech. And then it's like, yeah, well, that means I could say what you're mad about. Like, that's.
Exactly. Like, that's the craziest thing about it. I think it is the First Amendment for a reason in your country, and I stick by it.
Yeah, I got you. Did you have any inspirations comedian wise when you first started getting into it? Like, I know you
Oh,
mentioned
dude.
the one
Wait,
guy.
are we recording? Is this recording? Is this recording? Oh, my biggest inspiration when I started stand-up comedy was Chris D'Elia, and boy, did that backfire.
Oh, okay.
Like, okay, so I'm not gonna go into anything, but like when the allegations came out, it broke my fucking heart. But he was like a huge inspiration for me for a long time.
Yeah. I
But
mean, could have been worse. You could have said
Jack
Bill
Black as
Cosby.
like a comedic actor. Yeah, dude, worse would have been, yeah, someone that was actually convicted.
Yeah.
But yeah, Jack Black as a comedic actor was like
Okay.
the number one inspiration. I got him tattooed on my forearm. Like,
Nice.
yeah, Jack Black was the number one.
I love
But then
that.
when I found stand up, the floodgates just opened to me, and then I had this fucking history that I just got to go through in a matter of 6 years. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
it was really like, and with the internet, the fact that YouTube, I can just go and watch like everyone. Like, I can go and watch like Mitch Hedberg for fucking 17 hours if I want to tonight.
Right.
Like, truly, and like really learn what this motherfucker's brain did.
Right. Yeah.
And I found marijuana around the same time, and I truly did. And I learned about all of the shoulders that we stand on as comics, and the same way as I did it as actors. Like, I just did. I love looking back at like how this shit developed to where we are. What are the truths of the matter? Like, there's something about core funny that doesn't change, and that's like science. You know, you can keep doing the same experiment on it, and if it keeps coming back to the same result, that's funny then, you know? You can reword a joke 17 times, but if it keeps coming back to funny, that means it's funny.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, like that we have like stuff like YouTube and social media palm of our hands, whereas like I said, when I got into stand-up comedy, it was the Comedy Central Presents specials, and that's all I had. I had to record them to make sure I had them so I can go back to them. Now I could literally find, like you said, hours and hours of material just one search
Bro, you
away.
can go and find all of those recordings that you spent time recording back in the
Right.
day just on YouTube tonight at a better quality, you
Right.
know? They
Yeah,
re-rendered
definitely.
it to 4K for your viewing pleasure.
Yeah, no, I remember my mom deleted one because she didn't like the comedian. And I got so pissed, and it like ruined me for the week because it was one of my
That was
favorites.
Patrice, Mom. That was Patrice.
Yeah. So about your acting, like I said, I went to your IMDb page. You got the credits. Do you have any upcoming credits? Like, do you have any projects that you're?
As of right now, we got a writer's strike going on, and I
That's what I
fucking stand
heard.
behind the dude. As a comedian, here's the thing: I stand behind the writers. I understand that like the writing job is legit. I won't say too much on it because I'll let the striking people say what they want to say. But I'm not part of a union, so like I don't have to vouch for this. But the writer's strike is something that I think should happen, and I think writers deserve to be paid what they're fucking worth. Because like, dude, like we write jokes. And we get paid for it because we're also the performer, right? But then when you do it on TV, the writer gets taken out and the performer gets paid. And you go, wait a second. Like, it does make sense what they're standing up for me. But upcoming projects, no, because the writer's strike has just come on as of yesterday, I believe. I don't know when this is coming out, but as of yesterday, present time. And no, I just did the McDonald's, like the World Cup. I had a commercial come out. I was in the McDonald's World Cup commercial when the
Nice.
soccer was on. So that was the last one, and then the
That's.
winter kind of quieted down. I did a little tour, and then just coming back to it, just kind of new agency, and
So you got, I mean, between the acting and the stand-up, and then you're on TikTok, and I know you don't do the podcast anymore, but I'm sure there's still a lot of content. You do a lot, man. Like,
Dude,
what?
and I got this is like this is the calm before this. It feels like right now is the calm before the storm for the next 3 months here. So like,
Yeah. But
it's just content's gonna be coming out of the wahoo for me out the next 3 months here.
Yeah, but so no upcoming projects because of the strike. And I know I literally just heard about the strike today. They want like a it's a 2% raise, right? And then they deserve, like you said, I'm backing it too, because I know when they've striked, I think that's the right word, past tense, in the past.
Stroked. I stroke a fair bit, if you know what
that's awesome. When they've done it, we'll just say that in the past, you can look back and like there's a lot of bad seasons of otherwise good TV that have come out because they have to have these people that aren't normally writers make the
Yeah,
episodes.
dude.
And it's
Yeah, dude.
everything from Lost, Breaking Bad had some effects, The Office, like there was a lot of stuff that got affected by it. And I feel like the higher ups need to look at that and be like, well, fuck, we can't have that happen again.
But Joe, do we ever look at history to stop it from repeating itself? Do we ever do that? Do we,
No, we do
like, point
not.
blank, do we ever go, oh wait, this has happened, wait, this exact scenario happened, do we want to recreate history again? Okay, let's go for it. You know,
No,
dog? It's
no,
really
especially
surprising when you go, oh wait, this has happened before? Right.
right. Especially in America, we never really learn from our mistakes too well.
But bro, as an outside audience, we love to see it.
Oh,
We
I'm sure it's
fucking love
great.
to see it.
That's great
Bro,
content.
I grew up wanting the American dream. I've always wanted to end up in America, like the Hollywood dream. I fucking always wanted to. And god damn it, people are like, do you still want to move there? I'm like, more than ever. Like, more than, it's so divisive. It's the perfect time. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I love what's going on in your country. It's like, not a sorry to say, but like it's making people very fucking clear on what's right, what's wrong, where they stand, morals, right? We're gonna get so far, it's the elastic band, right? The left and the right can only get so polarized before they have to come back together. That's what I think.
No,
And
yeah.
I'm just sitting here watching them run and just going, that's fucking nuts, that's fucking nuts. I love it.
Literally, my last episode I just put out, I talk about politics, which is something I don't really know a lot about, so I don't know how much right I have to talk about it. But like we said, First Amendment, all that. But I talk about how crazy it is that like you can a Republican can argue with a Democrat, and no one will win, no matter what they throw at each other. Like no one's
No, because
backing
no one wants
down.
to win. No one
Right.
wants to win. Like,
Right.
it's. And, like, so for me, like, hear me out, and tell me if I'm wrong with this, but a liberal standpoint, like, liberalism as what it means, is you do whatever you want to do that's best for you, right? Everyone's able to do, right? So, whatever you want to do, and I'll do whatever I want to do, right?
Seems right.
And then a conservative's point of view is, fuck you, don't tell me what to do, I'm gonna do what I wanna do. And then when you look at it, you go, wait, aren't they saying the same, like, stay in your lane, I'll stay in my fucking lane, like, that's conservative. And then it's just like, they're saying the same thing, they're just saying it differently. But then their backs are against each other then, and it's like, wait, bro, if you just said the same thing to each other, you might actually be able to have a conversation. Like, it's wild to me.
It is wild for sure, because it's like you said, they're both kind of saying the same thing, but the Republicans will be like, all right, do what you want to do, like fuck you, you can't tell me what to do. But when they say, like when the Democrats say that, the Republicans don't like what the Democrats are doing. So then it's out of, it's fucked up. It's so fucked up. It's
Dude,
wild.
I just want someone, and I feel like there's a lot of people that kind of fit into this bubble now. I just want someone to go, all right, I'm running as an independent, let's just call it that for now. But realistically, what it is it's the everyman's point of view. The people that sit, like, on the 20% of the line. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not the people that are so far gone that vote for Biden even though he's falling over and dead, and not voting for fucking DeSantis even though everything that he's, you know what I mean? Like, these people that are, there's just someone that goes, all right, I'll listen to all y'all, and I'll fucking hear you all, and guess what? We're gonna have a live fucking bill, like, every time. Let's try this for democracy for a second. And then they'd have 80% of the people vote for them. and not people that just vote for Sleepy Joe because he's a liberal and I'm a liberal, so that's my candidate, I guess. Because that's what I sat for like the first half of my life was like. But then I read Russell Brand's book Revolution way too young, and then I was just like, wait, no one represents me. Fuck the government. And then I was just like, wait, that's a 16-year-old's point of view. Do not just live with that for the rest of your life. And then I had to do more research, you know, dude? Like, hindsight, I was just like, should have read that book today. Like, that's a good time to read it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Age restriction. There you go. There's a cancel culture. Fucking cancel Russell Brand.
Russell Brand. I'm sure.
he's a genius, man. That man's a fucking genius.
Yeah. I was actually surprised when I looked at, because I saw him in Forgetting Sarah Marshall was the first thing I saw him in, and then Get Him to the Greek. And, you know, he's playing the rock star, and he played it so well that you thought it was really him. And then, you know, you watch some of his interviews, and he really is just this really smart, smart guy, and funny with it, too. Yeah, he's awesome, for sure.
Same sort of thing. The guy came from, like, a traumatized past, drug addict, all this. Like, I mean, there's documentaries on him, but then, you know, found comedy and was able to laugh through and, like, just be able to, like, do that all, you know? He's great. Like, I've followed his shit for a long time, like, through the Trues and, like, all these different kind of, like, subsectors he's had, and now he's on Rumble. I this platform's great. I think, like, Rumble is a great... From what I know about it, like, I haven't ventured onto it as a creator, but more as a consumer, just because I've seen people that I, you know, listen to on both sides of the political spectrum for like where I consume content have moved over to Rumble, and I'm like, all right, this seems like a fucking what I'm talking about politically. Like, it's just like everyone kind of like doesn't say that, like everyone just kind of exists in this realm on Rumble, and I'm like, oh, okay, I fuck with this.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. So to get away from American politics. Growing up in Australia, it was fun. Like, it wasn't like this dark conversation, but I was interested. Growing up in Australia, I'm a big food guy. I don't know if clearly you can see that, but...
No, dude, I only can see the upper frame, dog.
Okay, we're good. Australia, what... If I ever go, I would love to go. What are some things I have... Like, what are some staples of Australian cuisine?
Oh, mate, a fucking meat pie. I think I was just back home to the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I did some shows there.
Yeah.
And fucking meat pies, mate. I think I had probably about 2 dozen of them, and I was there for like 10 days. Like, a meat pie, an Australian meat pie from any fucking bakery you go to.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a fancy one. It doesn't have to have onion and mushroom. Just a classic traditional pie. It's just steak and gravy.
Okay.
Just throw some tomato sauce on top of that. That's your first meal, right?
Okay.
Then what you're going to do is you're going to go down to the candy section because there's some fucking treats in Australia. And it's normally just like, it's the same sort of candy that you get in America, but it's Australian equivalent.
Yeah.
And there's just some really good ones in there. And there's like this is one called fucking, all right, ready? This is your tip.
Yeah.
Caramel koala, right? It's a caramel, basically, is what I've found out. But it's stretched out and formed into the shape of a koala. It's
okay.
Really good. But then when you get hungry for dinner, what you're going to go to is you're going to go to a pub or a hotel if you're in a city, right? A hotel is just like what we call a pub.
Yeah.
In the old days, and it just kind of continued on. You're going to get yourself a parma, a chicken parma.
Okay.
And it's going to be the best thing you've ever had, right?
Okay.
And then you're going to take yourself out, and you're going to get some sushi, because I don't know why, but sushi's so fucking good in Australia. I think it might be because of the fish. It makes sense. But, like, I had good sushi over here and in Mexico. I've had great sushi around the world. But sushi in Australia is really good. And then last but not least, dude, this is the ticket item. Ready?
Okay.
You're going to go and get pad thai from a Thai restaurant.
Okay.
Because the Thai food, mark my words, it's better in Australia. And it's because because Thailand and Australia are so close, right?
Yeah.
On immigration both ways. People immigrate down from Thailand with all of their recipes, open up these restaurants, have more money because the economy is better in Australia. They're able to buy better produce because there's better produce grown in Australia. The Thai food tastes better from the horse's mouth. Like, it's just Thai food cooking at their full potential, and it's amazing.
Okay.
It's amazing. There you go. There's your tips.
And I got it on record,
that's
so I'm
going
to be able to go
that's
back to it,
one.
Too. That's day
that's
one.
Day one. And if you can find it, like, dude, then if you can find the space in your stomach, I'll take you to a gas station, bro. We'll just go ham on snacks. Like, snacks are, like, my favorite in Australia. I think it's because I grew up on them. Because okay. It's not really... Like, because I live with Korean dudes, and their snacks are fucking next level, dude.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
They have, like, different snacks than I'm used to, but, like, yeah.
Have you... How close to home is an Outback Steakhouse? Or do you go there and you're like, this fucking sucks? Or are you...
First of all, what? Outback Steakhouse.
Like,
I never heard of it until I came here.
Okay, okay.
Like, even growing up, I'd never even seen it referenced in a movie or anything. So it wasn't until, like, the first time I'd actually been in the States that I was just like, what is this place? And I was just like... Oh, right, this is the same as Shrimp on a Barbie and the same as, like, that everyone is fucking, like, Steve-O. And even though RIP, that man was an absolute icon.
Right.
But, like, yeah, Outback Steakhouse is kind of like a spoofy kind of thing, I feel. Yeah,
it's like Olive Garden Italian. Like, it's not really Italian.
Yeah,
it's
there you go. That's exactly what it is, bro. Okay. That's exactly what it is.
Okay,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I know. I love Outback Steakhouse, but every time I go... I'm like, this can't be how it is. Like, there's no way. This is all fake.
No, like, I feel like the best way to consume an Australian, like, barbecue is just at your mate's backyard. Like, that's, like, the barbecue, like, for the summer months, which is 7 or 8 of them a year. Like, it's just, like, the barbecue's always running. And we cook everything on it from kebabs, like, all the way through sauce. Like, so we got snags over there that, like, rissoles. You throw dimmies on there. You throw everything. Like, just all these different... Barbecues are great, yeah.
Hell yeah. Okay.
And then I met South Africans, and then they told me about braai, and I'm like, God damn it. And then I met people from down south that told me about all their different types of barbecue, and I'm like, all right, well, I still like Australian barbecue.
It's I like knowing that barbecue is worldwide, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the most primitive thing we have cooking on fire. It's
true.
It kind of started our entire evolution, so it's true, like, of course, we all have our fucking barbecue.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's awesome. What I want to say. I just got the notification. I got 9 minutes left. You know, but we'll make it work. Is there a favorite place you like to visit in America? Because I know you said you're in Vancouver. But in America, when you're here, is there like a place you like playing at? Or, yeah.
House of Comedy.
Okay.
House of Comedy, can't remember, it's called House of Comedy up here in Minneapolis.
Okay.
I think it's down there somewhere. I like that place. That's like the most recent. But I'm heading back down there, and I'm heading down to the Chicago, Detroit, and Buffalo on my way through to Toronto at the end of summer. So this might be, in hindsight, wrong. So I might have different to come back to you with.
Have you ever been to Chicago before?
Never been, and I'm hitting Mount Rushmore on the way, and I can't wait to fucking see that place, because that's like a number one ticket for me, dude. I'm seeing Mount Rushmore, and that's one of the most exciting things for me.
Hell yeah.
In my calendar, it's like the day that I'm going to be able to drive down to Mount Rushmore and back up.
Do you know where you're playing in Chicago? I'm from Chicago, so that's why I'm so curious. Do you know where you're playing?
Dude, I'll have to hit you out when I'm coming through. No, I've got a couple guys that have like some shows that they're putting me up on when I'm there. I'm not doing a theater or anything.
Okay.
Not that. I know my clip makes me seem like I'm... And my ego makes me seem like a big, but no, it's more just coming through and doing the road and stopping in on cities, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you got to have the big ego, because you got to have that presence, you know?
I think you actually do. Like, it sounds dumb, but I think you do.
Yeah.
It's just like, I check mine. I know I check mine. But, like, I think you have to have it, right?
Right. Because there are plenty of funny comedians that are, like, really quiet about it, you know? And then the one, you know?
And they're the ones I hang out with.
Yeah.
They're the ones I love. Like, I don't want to hang out with me. I don't want to hang out with me. Like, fuck. I wouldn't hang out with me. But I want to hang out with the quiet, funny guys that when you're actually sitting there one-on-one with them, they'll make you laugh like you never fucking believed.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But there needs to be one of you in the group, though. Like, every group needs a you.
Which is the funny thing is, dude, like, I'm not even the funniest bloke in my friendship group that I grew up with. Like, when I was just back home, I'm seeing my mates again just laugh my ass off at, like, the shit they do.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're calling me the funny one just because I'm the dumb one that gets on stage and tells stories about it. But I'm like, no, you guys are the funny ones, though.
Right.
They just have no drive. Like, they don't have, like, that dumb thing that I have in my head that's like, I'm going to go tell people.
The charisma and the... honestly, the guts to do, like, stand-up comedy is no, it's not easy by any means. Like, it's hard to
No.
get up there, and even if you are a natural at it, like, it's still, there's gotta be that part of you that's like, fuck, like, I'm, in front of all these people, and yeah, it's.
Yeah. Every time, and like it changes, like the not nerves, but like the whatever that like fucking thing is, it changes and evolves over time, but you never don't get it. Like sometimes it's about that you fucking changed a tag on a joke, and you're like fucking like, all these people are gonna hate me if that tag doesn't go right, and you're like, they're never gonna fucking think about this again. Two comics, like dude, it's just like when you're opening, like, cause I feature and I open on the road a bunch, like, and it's like. By the time my set's finished, the headliner's been up for 5 minutes, and they forgot that the headliner had any openers because they only came for the headliner. You know what I mean, dude? Like, they're just like, you were just filling time while we were pissing and eating. Like, dude, like, we're waiting for the headliner the whole time. You're like, oh, I spent 17,000 hours writing this.
But that's also why it's good to have your kind of personality, because I do believe that, like, people wouldn't forget and act like you, because you are, you, like I said, you have that charisma, and
Tombstone, I just want everyone to have a laugh, and
there you
like,
go.
if I have to be the butt of the bit, I'll be the butt of the bit as long as everyone's like having a laugh. Like, it's just at the end of the day that,
I'm in the same exact boat. That's why I got into the stand-up comedy, because I love making people laugh. I used to give tours at Brookfield Zoo. Just, they gave me a script. It was all facts about the animals. I took out like 75% of it and replaced it with jokes. And it was just like, and people loved it. And that was one of my favorite jobs, because I got to make people laugh. So I definitely feel you on that, for sure.
It feels selfish like when you come off stage after having a really good show, because like for me the best feeling I can have in the world is having a laugh, right? Like, and like when someone's laughing, that makes me feel so good, and then the fact that they're laughing because I made them feel that way makes me feel so good. So like I'm basically just getting paid in currency. Like my favorite fucking feeling is just getting reciprocated back to me. So you come off stage and you feel so fucking good. You feel drained, but like you feel so good because it's exactly what you want, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's anything I could do to make people laugh, I'm absolutely in that. And then, like, if everyone from my son, like, even when he laughs and I know that I caused it, I love that. And, friends, family, whoever, I
Yeah,
love that
dude, it's
feeling.
the yeah, and for me, it ranges anything from like stand-up comedy to like Impractical Jokers stuff to like fucking even TikTok, man. There's some amazing humor on the internet, and like as an artist, it's hard to admit that like sometimes I see fucking tweets and memes that are funnier than anything I'll ever write. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but it's true. Like, the internet is a source of absolute fucking unmatched potential of humor. It's
The internet
And then, like, if
remains
we're gonna sign off on
undefeated.
anything, just remember that the Google AI CEO just stepped down, right? He just pulled the fucking eject cord on AI. He's just like, we're fucked, even though now everyone's on Snapchat using my Snapchat AI, being like, what would I look like with red hair? And it's just like, you would look great with red hair. You should use your enemy's blood as dye. Like, it's fucked, dude.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, that
So
might.
stay off AI.
That
Use the
AI thing on
internet, not
Snapchat,
AI.
that is, it's kind of like, I've seen the screenshots of it being like,
I haven't used it. I haven't used it.
oh no, I haven't touched it. I haven't
I haven't
touched
used
it.
ChatGPT. I haven't used fucking MyStab.
No,
Nothing. I
no.
won't. I won't. I
I've
won't.
just, I've seen the screenshots of people being like, do you know my location? And then the AI is like, no, I don't. And then the next question is there a
Yeah,
Dairy
it's like,
Queen near
where's the
me?
closest top? Yeah, yeah,
It,
yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like, there's one right down the block. And it's fuck.
Dude, I say that, but yet I have so much fucking tech around me right now. Like, I'm looking at seven different Mac products, like, and I'm just like, oh, my life is already ruined. Like, it's like, what am I gonna do about it?
Well, I mean, for someone who makes as much content as you do, you kind of have to have that,
It's
so.
hard, man, but like at least at somewhere in my brain it shifted that now I use the platforms for business opposed to pleasure, and that's what's good.
Fair
And like when
enough.
I open up Instagram, I'm not on there for pleasure.
Got you. I got you.
TikTok, maybe sometimes I scroll for a little bit extra time, but that's because that algorithm is fucking perfect.
I remember you just said, well, a while, few minutes ago, you were saying Jack Black was one of your inspirations, and I kind of got that. The one, there's a TikTok with the Christina Aguilera sound where you're like jumping all around with the construction. That kind of has that Jack Black energy, so I totally can see it.
Sick, dude. Absolutely. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, he's a god walking among us is what that man is.
Absolutely. Well, we got a minute and a half left, so just wanted to thank you so much for doing this. I appreciate it.
Thanks for reaching out, man. Fucking keep going. Keep grinding. I love it, man.
I appreciate it. You too, by the way. Like, keep doing what you're doing because you're making people laugh, and that's, like you said, that's what you
want
to do. So, keep doing that. Let me know when you're in Chicago.
I'll throw you a DM on the platform you reached out on.
Yeah. Was there anything you wanted to plug before we go? Or
just hit me up on Instagram at PFGRNT. That's the easiest. That's where I put everything. My stories update every day. I'm fucking hilarious. I throw sticks at gondolas and stuff. I'm very much worth the follow on Instagram. That's where I mostly post all my links from.
All right, man. Well, again, thank you so much. And I'll just see you when I see you.
All right, Joe. Take care, man.
All right, you too.
Ciao.
All right, everybody, that was Peter Grant, the comedian from Melbourne, Australia. Great interview. Super cool hearing from him. Man from all the way across the globe. And now he's in Vancouver. I don't know why I thought he was in California. I think the time zone he gave me was PST, Pacific Standard Time. So, my mind went to California because that was the last person I interviewed that had PST was from California. So I apologize, but Vancouver, kind of crazy change of location right there, Australia to Vancouver, but he's there and, apparently coming to Chicago at the end of summer and then, wherever else he said, I'll go back and listen to it, but keep an eye out for him, follow him on his social media. Super funny dude. If you couldn't tell from that interview, check out his page and you will be able to confirm. Very funny guy, very cool guy, and super nice guy for taking the time to let me interview him. I appreciate that as I appreciate all the interviews. And we're gonna be back to wrap this thing up, burrito style, in just a second. Thank y'all for listening. Thank you again, Peter Grant. Great fucking interview. That guy's really funny. Love that. All right, everybody, I am back to wrap this thing up. Burrito style. I don't know why I said burrito. No reason to mispronounce it, but I did. That's what I did. I'm going to keep moving, though. We're going to move past that. Very pointless. Don't even know why I'm still talking about it, but here I am. However, now we are done talking about the mispronunciation of burrito, and we're on to something I want to talk about to end this episode. Great episode, by the way. Thank you again, Peter Grant. You're the man, for real. Or I guess you're the bloke. You're the mate. All those Australian slang terms that I am so far away from cool enough to use. But anyway, you're awesome. I wanted to write a love letter to Pixar because growing up, I watched a lot of Pixar movies myself. I was a big fan of them. I liked the original animation Disney movies as well. Hercules, Robin Hood, Lilo and Stitch, Emperor's New Groove, Lion King, Mulan, all those. The list goes on and on. But Pixar has produced some classics that I love personally, but more importantly, Cassie loves my, like, people love Pixar movies. But more importantly, Finn fucking loves Pixar. Loves Pixar. He's glued to the TV when Pixar is on. He's got some favorites, Encanto and Monsters, Inc., Monsters University, the Toy Story movies. But Pixar in general, he's probably going to watch. Like, he's gonna pay attention to the TV. He loves the Despicable Me movies as well. So maybe Illumination. And those are like his big two. Because he likes the Sing movies and possibly The Secret Life of Pets, although we haven't watched that, so I don't know. He liked the Illumination, The Grinch, the more recent one. Anyway, this is about Pixar, though. Illumination, you're great, but Pixar, just because they've been making movies since I was little. The original Toy Story came out in 1995, the OG Pixar movie, the one that started it all, the revolution, animation that people were like, whoa, that's different. I think we like it, right? And then the more movies that got made, the more people liked it. Monsters, Inc. came out in 2001. I'm not going in any sort of order here, don't worry. But Monsters, Inc. was just first one that came to mind, so I want to know when that came. 2001 that came out. Billy Crystal and John Goodman absolutely killing it. Bug's Life was 1998. Bug's Life was another one of the classics. I feel like anything 2001 and under is a certified classic in the Pixar world. So Bug's Life is up there. Toy Story 2 was 1999. Outside of that, though, you know, the list isn't as high. So there's Cars, that was 2006. Up was 2009. Coco was 2017. Inside Out was 2015. WALL-E was 2008. Finding Nemo was 2003. Ratatouille was 2007. Cars 2 was 2011. And Cars 3 was 2017. I don't think we needed three Cars movies. The first one's great. Second, I barely seen the second one, but Finn loves the first one. We watch the first one all the time. Brave was 2012. All right movie. I'll watch it around St. Patrick's Day because, you know, it's a, I mean, they're Scottish, but it's close enough. Is that offensive? I don't know. Onward was 2020. Onward, I think got overlooked because it was released during the COVID era, so it wasn't like a wide movie theater release. So I think definitely it got slept on, but granted, it's not Pixar's best work, but it's definitely not their worst work either. It's a fine movie. Toy Story 3 was 2010. Now, Toy Story 4 was fine. That came out in 2019, 9 years after Toy Story 3. But I feel like Toy Story 3 was a perfect ending. You know, they had the near-death experience at the end that is super intense, by the way. Super fucking intense. Like, the epic music that's playing sounds like something out of Star Wars or Lord of the Rings, and all the toys are in the trash chute, just like slowly funneling down towards the big fire pit or whatever in the middle of it where all the trash gets burnt. And like they're all struggling at first. They're like trying to find a way out, and then they realize that it's not going to happen, and they all just accept their fate. And they start holding hands and they close their eyes as they're getting closer. And Woody's like the last one to realize, like, oh, fuck, we're fucked. He doesn't say that, but maybe in the unrated version, I'm not sure. But like he looks around and sees everyone holding hands and they kind of look at him and they're like, well, we had a good run. And then it's like, holy, like this is intense. This is real intense and it's sad. And then the little alien people save them because it's the claw and saves them and it's a happy ending. And then Andy goes off to college and they get the goodbye and it's a really sweet goodbye and gives his toys to the little girl who's going to play with him for many years. And it was a perfect ending. And then they, you know, they were like, we can make a lot more money if we make another Toy Story movie. And so they did, and now they're making another one. So hopefully they ended at five. Five should be it, in my opinion. Monsters University was 2013. I think this is Finn's favorite movie. It's definitely my favorite movie. It's no longer Lilo and Stitch. It's no longer the old Robin Hood. It's no longer Hercules. It's Monsters University. I just love it. And maybe it's because Finn loves it. But also, I think it's funny. It's like, I don't know. I can't describe it. I can't describe it. It's just, I feel good when I'm watching it. And that's the case for a lot of these movies, but still, for whatever reason, Monsters University is a comfort movie for me now, and I like turning it on, even if it's not for Finn. Sometimes it's just for me. Finding Dory was 2016. Did I already say Finding Nemo was 2003? Well, if I didn't, Finding Nemo was 2003, and then to follow that up, The Incredibles came out in 2004. And then The Incredibles 2 came out in 2018. So we got two Cars sequels before we got an Incredibles sequel. Don't know how that happened, but it did. So there's that. The Good Dinosaur was 2015. I think that's one of the ones that's kind of like, eh. People don't really care too much about it. They got all the little movies that happened. like all the shorts, and they're on Disney Plus. Lightyear, the Buzz standalone movie, came out in 2022. That got a lot of heat because people were like, "Oh, they put lesbians in it. What the fuck?" I get, like, you know, whatever. You don't have to force it in. Well, they're not forcing it in. They're just writing it in. So, it's you. You're the problem. Just saying. Luca was 2021. I still have not seen Luca. Still have not seen Luca. 2022, Turning Red came out. That's another one that got some heat because everyone thought it was about a girl on her period, which it still could be, I guess. I'm not exactly sure. I only watched it one time. That was enough for me. Didn't mind it, but whatever. Strange World came out earlier this year, I believe. Not 100% on that one, but Elemental is coming out later this year. Elemental looks fun. It's very colorful, so Finn should definitely enjoy that. Zootopia, Moana, like I said, Encanto. There's just... Those aren't Pixar, by the way. Those are just that Pixar type of animation. Moana, Zootopia, and Encanto. But, you know, I include... Because it's like, they're Pixar animation style, so it's like that. It's just... And I'm sure I missed a couple. I just went through... I went through as many as I could. They have released such an amazing, impressive smorgasbord of films that have touched our hearts and made us laugh and cry and feel good and all sorts, inspired us to be better. You know, there's always a good message. There's always a good message, usually. I can't really speak for the ones I haven't spent too much time on. Haven't watched Luca. Haven't watched The Good Dinosaur a bunch. Turning Red I saw once. Strange World I saw once. Like, so maybe I have to watch those again. Raya and the Last Dragon. You know, give that another shot. I watched that a couple times, I think. Awkwafina's pretty funny in it. But just huge shout out to Pixar. I just went through all the work that you guys have put out, and 98% of those movies are hits and classics and loved by millions and millions of people all over the world. That's why Disney is what it is. It's the most magical fucking place on earth, and the most magical company on earth outside of Chili's, you know. An Outback Steakhouse. Actually, no. Just, I'm going to cool it on. Peter Grant seemed almost offended that I brought up Outback Steakhouse. I wasn't like, I fucking love Outback Steakhouse. Outback Steakhouse is fine. I wouldn't do that anyway, but I was kind of careful. I was like, so is it? That's not authentic Australian. Yeah. You guys heard the interview. What the fuck am I talking about? Anyway, just wanted to give a love letter to Pixar. Thank you so much for, not like anyone from Pixar is going to fucking hear this, but thank you so much for putting out the magical content that you do. You have made me happy throughout my childhood and my years growing up. I'm sure I'm far from alone, and you've made my son happy, which is the most important thing to me right now. You've made Finn laugh a bunch and just get invested in these movies, and he's like attracted to it, and I love that. I love seeing him really engaged and stuff like that. And we're making sure it's not like it's just Pixar all day. Like, we put on some of a movie, we usually don't finish it, but then we'll turn it off and on to the next thing of the day, whether we're going for a walk or playing around or whatever. But when a movie is on, it's usually Pixar. And Finn is usually invested. He's paying attention for sure. And I love seeing that. And I'm super thankful because we could also kind of use it as a tool. Like, if we need Finn to chill out, just throw on a movie. Pixar movie. So, big shout out, Pixar. Thank you so much. Love you. Keep making movies. Elemental, I'm sure, will be fine. And all the sequels you got coming up. Inside Out 2, Zootopia 2, Frozen 2. Toy Story 5 or Frozen 3, I think. I don't know. A bunch of them got announced. I just remember Toy Story 5 for sure, and then Inside Out 2. Sometimes you got to go back to the sequels, you know? It's good to touch base. Disney, I think, can get away with it because they're not going to go overboard like Fast and the Furious or Saw or whatever. Toy Story 5 should be the last one, though. They should end it at 5. Because if they do 6, then that'll be overboard. You know what I mean? But there's Toy Story Land at Disney. You know? So it is arguably one of the biggest of the Disney franchises. But I would end it at 5. I would have ended it at 3. And that's nothing against 4. 4 was fine. Duke Kaboom is a great character. Forky was great. Keanu Reeves, Duke Kaboom. No biggie. Guy's the man. But I would end it at 5. Just saying, if there is someone from Pixar listening and you want some tips, we'll cut it off at 5. But yeah, just super, super grateful that that company exists because they've helped me and they've helped my child now. So it's kind of cool in that aspect. Like, I grew up watching a lot of these movies and now Finn is going to grow up watching them, and something really cool about that. It's a cool feeling. So, all right, that is it for me for this episode. Episode 65 is in the books. Episode 66 will be coming out soon. Whether it's just me or whether I'm with someone else, I don't know. I got a bachelor party coming up. Maybe I'll try to record at the bachelor party. People are down with that. I don't know if they will be, but maybe they will be. I don't know. We'll see. If they're not, that's cool. I get it. I don't really know anyone at the bachelor party besides Steve. So I would totally understand why it would be weird if a guy was just like, "Hey, can you want to be on my podcast? I'm going to record you. So what do you think about titties, huh? You like dicks?" Like, that'd be awkward. So, and I'm only going for one day, so I don't have all the time in the world. So I don't know if I want to spend it recording a podcast and doing all that. It could be fun, but anyway, we'll see. Episode 66 will be coming soon, though, regardless whether it's bachelor party or not. I promise you that. So, thank you all so much for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed. Be sure to go to Peter Grant's social media. Check it out. Give it a like. Give it a follow. Whatever. And y'all have a great, great rest of your day. I think spring is on its way. I checked the forecast. There's lots of 70-degree days. 70 and sunny for the foreseeable future. Fucking love that for me. Love that for us. That's a win, baby. That's a W. Fly the W. Oh, shit. I just did it. That's a Cubs hashtag. So I'm going to... Can we just... We'll edit that out in post. Not a Cubs fan. I don't care how bad the Sox are doing. Not a Cubs fan. Don't fly the W. Just... That's a W for us. So accept the... Let the W in to your soul. Don't fly it. God damn it.